Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author of The Way of the Warrior Kid, Jocko Willink. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Dave Damashek. And now, with a shout out to Dave's mom who's listening, and his mom who doesn't know what a podcast is, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do appreciate what you do for us here each and every day. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And good day, Bald Brian.
No!
And Dave Damashek. Jocko Willink is coming in. And if you want to know about Jocko, he makes Henry Rollins look like Jim J. Bullock.
Oh, my God.
So many times before.
There is that chasm. The same chasm between Henry Rollins and Jim J. Bullock is the exact same space between Jocko and Henry. That is a lot of man.
Guy. He's macho.
Machismo.
Lousy with machismo.
You have not met Jocko?
No.
You tell me if I'm over-exaggerating.
I follow him on Twitter, and I love that he has this book, but no, I haven't seen him in person.
Way overdue, we had a guy, I think he called in minor league hockey. He did the play-by-play in minor league hockey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wanted a call. He wanted his goal. Sheck was here. Sheck coached him up on the Frusengalaja.
That's a good empty netter right there when the game's over.
Shoots it for the empty net cinch the game.
Overtime.
Frusengalaja.
Double overtime.
Frusengalaja! So he recorded himself doing it. Now, Gary, am I making this up?
Is it like a
AAA game or something? Or I don't know much about the hockey.
It's a minor league. Yeah, we know that.
Packed house, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not positive, but it appeared to me when I watched this that this was like a post-game wrap-up, not live play-by-play.
Hey, could we get our underling stuff sort of worked out? Like, I feel like, I don't know, you know, in baseball, it's AA, AAA, and a lot of stuff, and I'm not sure what order everything's in.
Okay.
And then, like, when I played football, my first year I played on the B team, but I was having to explain to my son that the B team was actually better than the junior varsity when people would say, well, what about junior varsity? No, the B team was made up of better players. JV were just fat guys who couldn't play at the varsity level, but it didn't make any sense to them. Most people think it's varsity, JV, B team, or freshman team, right, or whatever
and
it is.
And you go, in baseball, it's confusing for the youngsters, because you go T-ball, right? And then you go to Little League, and then Pony League.
Right.
Mm. Well, there's the incongruity of a pony now. We're talking about a pony. And then there's a one above that, too. Isn't there like Colt or something like that?
Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio. There's a whole bunch
of teenage leagues.
No, look. Pop Warner Football, Farm, Mighty Mite, then Tiny Mite, Farm Gremlin, Tiny Mite, Mighty Mite. One of the top of the list is second to the top. The oldest, like, you can play in Pop Warner Football is called Pee Wee. Why is Pee Wee above Mighty Mite?
Sounds like that should be at the bottom.
And then you go to Bantam. I don't know, like bantamweight. Totally
none of
confusing.
None of those make logical sense to someone who doesn't know what they
are. Baseball gets it right. AA, AA, that's nice and clean.
I don't know what hockey is, but it's like, remember the terrorist alert chart?
Yes,
it was like magenta
colors.
Means guarded.
But we're a code green,
chartreuse
guys.
Chartreuse means look alive.
Right. Just give everything numbers and we'll figure it out. So what does hockey do?
They have, well, they're the juniors that kids in Canada and otherwise go up to in their teen years, and then they go to their various minor leagues, but I mean, I don't know which one ranks. I think the AHL is the preeminent minor hockey league.
This is just sad.
Mite, Squirt, Pee-wee, Bantam, Midget. Again, Midget is after Bantam. They're 15-year-olds, and Midgets are 13- and 14-year-olds. Midget Minor.
So Midget's the best?
A little bit redundant.
Mite, Squirt, Pee-wee, Bantam, and Midget.
Then it goes
sounds
to
like the
juvenile,
little rascals.
Juvenile, junior, and senior.
All right. It's all confusing. Anyway, he made the call and a Pee-wee, Midget, or Bantam hockey game, and this is what it sounded like.
You know, boards midway through the second. The Griffins finally get on the board, then cut into the deficit even more. Final seconds. Bertuzzi, Shvechnikov, Frusian Glazja! Score is 3-2 after two. Then in the third, the Wolves.
Sweeping the nation.
I'm over the moon. I don't know about you guys. I'm over the moon.
I now looking at it, feel like he was just watching his TV and recording it on his iPhone.
It's very possible. Mm.
But I don't know. All right.
Meet him halfway and say he could have been doing the local sports wrap-up for the minor league area.
All right. Let's see.
Wedding, that's a feather in my cap.
Wedding vows. There's
it's a
question
small
up
feather,
here.
Very small feather.
I'll wear it.
I'll give you a good, not great, but solid Mike August. You know how Mike August is
colorful?
No, he's out of it to the point where he doesn't know when he's going to sneeze, which I always thought was perfect.
They are snipes.
He sneezes violently. I don't know how God creates people. There's some people that sneeze violently. Mm-hmm. There are other people that sound like Yoko Ono farted in her sleep. Like, this is me. You know what I mean? And there are people that, like, plug it. And when Mike is riding shotgun and we're driving down to Irvine and he just sneezes violently out of nowhere, it really sounds like someone just ran over a macaw. Like your reaction is like, oh my God, what just happened? Because it's so powerful. It's a sneeze is part audible, but a lot of it is physical. Like there's an actual wave coming. You know, they say it leaves your nose at like 100 miles an hour. And I said, Mike, could you give me a little heads up before you sneeze?
It makes me angry for some weird reason, too, when people violently sneeze in my presence.
I do, too.
What are you doing?
I feel like they could reel it down. Like,
that's right.
They could bring it down to a 6.5, and they're at 11. And also, they could do that move where you slide your shirt over your nose and turn and put your hand. And I said, Mike, could you please give me some warning when you're going to sneeze? And he said, I don't know when I'm going to sneeze myself. And I thought that is so perfect. You don't even know when you're going to sneeze. So I was hosting Dennis Prager's radio. I filled in for Dennis Prager today. I've not done terrestrial radio in a long time, certainly a three-hour shift doing the regular AM morning
I was the
radio
weather and traffic.
Show.
How many F-bombs got out?
I minded my P's and Q's. Mm. And at the end of the show, went from 9 a.m. to 12. It's syndicated, but out here it was 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And or are we still in the a.m.? I don't know. But I check my phone, and I look down, and Mike August had called at 11:56. So my first thought was, oh, I guess he doesn't know I'm hosting the Dennis Prager show today because it goes from 9 to noon, and you would never call. The 9:56 is not a commercial break. It's going to the end of the show at 9:59 and a half, or 11:59 and a half, whatever it is. So I called him back, and I was like, hey, Mike, I'm hosting the show. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm listening. It's horrible. Horrible. The terrestrial radio. It's horrible. Horrible. What are they doing? What are they doing? It's horrible. And I said, okay, thank you. But
when you host a talk show, it's
kind
of all you.
He did on 20 minutes on how horrible the format is on AM radio. And I agree with him, all the traffic and news and weather, and they're breaking away every 20 seconds. But he said horrible 33 times. But also, he called during the show, knowing I was on the show having a radio, knowing...
What kind of behavior is
this? The show ends at noon. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is call at 12:03, yeah, and I will pick up the phone. Why? I'm on the air, and he's listening, and he's calling.
I'm sure he had a perfectly good explanation.
Well,
go
he
ahead.
Wanted to tell me how horrible the right. show was, but he's going to have to wait.
Going on.
Have to wait till we get off the air.
That's peak August.
It is peak August, mm-hmm. right?
That mindset. That I don't want to say he's narcissistic because that sounds negative in some way, but the idea that it's your place to call somebody in the middle of the show, let alone to criticize it.
Listen, I would sit next.
That's a good point.
To me, he hates the format more than the host. But I,
what do you think was going to happen? Like you were going to pick up? Was there any?
I'm used to this because I would sit next to Dr. Drew for years, and he did Love Line for 31 years, mm-hmm. and it would start at 10, and our first break would be 10:20 or something mm-hmm. like that. I'd stretch it out sometimes, but sometimes his phone would ring at 10:09, and he'd look, Susan, it's my wife, she doesn't know you have this gig that mm-hmm. starts at 10. And then the answer is she probably doesn't know what time it is or whatever. It's like, yeah, they'd invent something called a clock so we could keep track of this stuff. The thing she's calling you...
Where microwaves, phones, watches?
The thing she's using to call you has a clock on it, but she probably doesn't... She forgot. How could you mm-hmm. call somebody who's 20 years into a radio gig that starts at 10 p.m.? We all know
that's a pretty regular.
Susan Pinsky's capable of anything, and True. Mike August is capable True. Of anything, but you're trying to make sense of it. It's like ISIS. Don't make sense of it. Just try to avoid it. That's all this. But he would look all the time. I'd call her back and scream at her. Would you please?
Never.
She doesn't know that. You know, it's like, how can she not know what you're doing at 10:05?
Because that's a regular schedule.
And it's really it's not like you're at the theater. There's a way to find out if he's talking right now. Just put on the radio.
Right. Right.
That's a good point.
All right.
I had a moral conundrum for you. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I went in. I was at the NFL. I went into the first floor bathroom there. You know, me and my male colleagues, of course, inhabit this one. And I saw one of my coworkers. He was drying his hand right by the door. And as I went by, I just gave him a playful jab in the ribs. Like, hey, what's happening, man? Kind of thing. And as soon as my fist met his rib cage, it felt wrong. And I said, I'm sorry I touched you. It's wildly inappropriate to touch you in the toilet. Well, true or false? There should never be touching, right? You shouldn't slap a guy on the back. Hey, good to see you, pal, in the toilet.
Was it out?
No, talking about his manhood?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
that was
that's okay.
It's weird
secure. Way
to wash one's hands.
Yeah, that's okay, right?
I don't mind. I got
really.
I got.
I can't believe this.
In the head over at Prager's studio today, which is, I had a young intern guy who was shadowing me, and
you know the game is played.
You want to get from intern to phone screener?
Yeah, that's right.
There's a slow way and a fast way.
Keep it up, be bored up and soon.
Take it out for me.
I had to go. He's got all the keys and all the passes mm-hmm. and all the swipe things, mm-hmm. and so when I need to go to the bathroom an hour into the show, he's got to go with me. But he that's needs smart. To go to the bathroom too, so we both do it. I take my leak and then do what I always do, which is beeline for the door. He then scrubs into a surgery, basically. So I do a move where I open the door. Here we go, Mason. Get back to the studio. One of them is a 3-minute break. So it was like, hey, here we go.
Let's do this.
You're subbing for a guy's show. You don't want dead air. And he's like, hold on. And he's got the sleeves rolled up. He's going at it. He's holding his hands up. He's shutting it with his elbow.
Oh,
he has a nurse putting a mask around him. He's stepping into a gown. That's a power. Hey, by the way, whether the two most powerful front and back moves, uh-huh. back move, cape removed for you. Front, someone's holding
gown.
The gown
for you to walk
and
into.
And you walking into the gown.
Yeah.
Yes. So
add that to your list of things you want to do before you die.
He's scrubbing away, and I'm standing there holding the bathroom door open, going, here we go. And now I realize this is weird because it's a smallish bathroom, and I'm just holding the door open while people are walking in it up and down the hall. And
that's
there's some
for
guy
show.
On the crapper.
That's
so now do I just let the door go at this point, and he's still in there? scrubbing away.
Now you have to be with him because he has the keys.
I can't leave him. I can stand in the hall.
Oh, I see.
But I don't do that much scrubbing after I take a leak because,
nor
A, it's not your junk, it's my junk I'm handling. B, Drew made a huge tactical error in telling me that urine was sterile many years ago, in which case the world became my
hydrant.
Urinal
your
cake. Yes, my pee ground. So it turns out maybe it's not as sterile as he said it was, but either way, I'm not a washer on the way out. I feel like whatever's on the bathroom handle, the door, or on the microphone or the headphones or whatever it is far worse than whatever's on my pee-pee.
I've mentioned it on this podcast a million times. Now I'll mention it for the million and first. Each morning at the Man Show way back when was punctuated by a visit from Adam Carolla. Cousin Sal and I shared the office in the corner there, and Adam Carolla would make his way up there at some point and make his water into the empty coffee pot and then sit it on the windowsill, and the morning sun coming through
listening
through that urine, I mean, it was
Frusen
glorious. Frusenglasia. It's just Frusenglasia.
Yeah.
The most beautiful sight you've ever. The shade of gold.
Why would you do that?
I'll tell you why.
Why not?
A.
Give me a good reason why not.
Who's going to make him stop?
I was the boss, and I wanted to let everyone know it. And the other reason I did it is because Cousin Sal and company would destroy the bathroom upstairs. Mm. That was a weird layout. There was three floors. We were in the middle. Me and Jimmy were in a big office in the middle. And then we had no bathroom in the middle. There's a bathroom down below, and there's a bathroom up above, kind of lofty-like. Mm-hmm. And all the writers' offices were up above. And what Sal would do to that bathroom, and I think he'd leave all the papers spread out,
like
a birdcage.
To be fair, let's charge the person who deserves it.
Or
it
Brad.
Was Randy. Yes.
Oh, Brad. Yeah. Brad would they would destroy the bathroom.
Like there was a litter of puppies that had recently. I mean, every inch of the toilet room of the bathroom was covered in newspaper, and it would all be different amounts of soaking wet.
The
walls and stuff would get wet. What the hell happened in here? This is a public toilet, sir. One commode for everybody, and somehow before anybody else got there, he was already there and had destroyed the joint.
So my fighting fire with fire water would be going and whizzing in their coffee pot and then setting it down on the thing.
Reestablish order to the universe.
It was more of a, it's a kind of move. It wasn't, there was no malice. It was kind of move that it was Gandhi would have pulled back in the day.
Yes.
It's my form of protest.
Yeah.
I think it's more like Serengeti kind of rules. You know, what happens out in the wild, can't explain.
We were definitely in the wild. All right.
To answer your question, Dave, no, you should never touch another man in the male restroom unless it's a very good friend of yours, in which case, I'm not going to say the more touching, the better, but I was in a bar once with some friends of mine, and one of the guys was in the bathroom, three stalls, going pee. Guys freeze up when they're peeing because I walked up behind them. We'd been maybe drinking, and I grabbed him by the shoulders. I just started tilting him side to side, side to side, side to side. And he didn't know what to do. He just started like,
couldn't stop?
It's like a frog with a flashlight. You know what I mean? Like a deer in the headlights. Like guys, when they're peeing, they're not in fight mode. They're like, stop it, stop it, stop it.
That's an assault of the highest order.
No,
Brian.
Just grab the shoulders.
No, the greater assault will be when the faucet turns on, then to turn around and make the water on to bald Brian for the attack.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'll teach him.
Yeah. Luckily, that didn't happen.
All right. I remember once. Ray or my buddy Chris, I can't remember, peed on a stranger in the bathroom at North Hollywood High. And one of the greatest things is you never really experience is how people experience bizarre forms of terror. Mm-hmm. Like, we can all appreciate and sort of speculate and imagine what it would be like if you're at a 7-Eleven and there's a robbery and mm-hmm. someone gets shot. You know, a lot of you being frightened or, oh my God, or call 911. We all know that reaction. Being peed on by a stranger who's bigger than you, you'll never really, you don't have anything in your index as a response. Like, we all have, we have a response for you're waiting for a parking space at Costco on a busy Saturday and somebody slides in and it's a toot on the horn. Hey, hey dude, didn't you see me here? That was, you know, we all have that. Getting whizzed on by a stranger, weird things come out of your mouth. I've seen Ray shoot water out of his ass onto a stranger. Yeah. I've seen Ray whiz on a stranger. I've seen Ray fart on a girl's head. And they're all great responses. The girl whose head he farted on about an hour after he met her just said to him, I don't even know you. Like, it was like, it made me laugh because it suggested that later on in the evening after we eat and maybe have a drink, if you'd like to fart on my head, that's another story, but we just met. And the guy at North Hollywood High whose leg he whizzed on.
Soiled.
It was sort of just did. He sort of turned back a little
according
from the
to
urinal.
Dr. Drew, he cleaned the leg.
And he just went,
better off.
Dude. He didn't even know what to say other than, like, dude, I don't know about that. Like, it was a weird response.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. He put his dick in his mom's friend's ear, Kathy. Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
But they're good friends.
Well, to be fair to her,
she had
you don't
ear.
Go into
ear.
Somebody's house and sit and talk on the phone and leave your ear open to the outside
That's
hall.
That's on you.
You know what I mean? You put the phone on the side that Ray would be walking right. past you naked in, and that way he'd have to come around. So in a weird way, I feel like, you know, it's like one of those situations where you take your SUV, you pull it into Watts or some other socionomical, I made up a word there, but depressed area. Uh-huh.
It's going around these days, making up words.
Yes. And you leave a attaché case on the seat with the window open and it gets stolen.
Yeah.
That's kind of on you. And I feel like Kathy, which was Irene, Ray's mom's friend, leaving that ear open.
Yeah,
you know,
that's on her.
To the hall,
that's right.
While you've got the phone on the other, you're begging to have
talk
a teenage
about weird
guy
responses.
Put a dick in it. Yes.
I don't know how to, I didn't know how to respond. I was once, you know, Lower Wacker, if you've ever seen any of those, the newer Batman movies, that's where Batman and Joker are always fighting down in those, you know, those tunnel-y kind of streets. Anyhow, so I was once merging in at rush hour when I was living in Chicago, merging in, and a guy didn't like the fact that I took my rightful place in merging so much. He's laying his horn and I'm jagging around, giving him the business with my hands and stuff and everything. Next thing I know, I look up in my rear view mirror. There's no one in the car behind me anymore. I realize he's making his way to my car. So I go for the lock. It's too late. He opens the car door and he gives me. He goes to spit in my face, but he gives me an air spit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But it was just, I felt the air wash
the hot
past
breath.
Me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to respond. What is the correct, I mean, a man gets out and pump or
I don't
or makes,
know you well enough.
I just met you.
I just met you. Later on.
Should fists have flown? I didn't know what to do as a man.
If you were Mike August, they would have.
Yeah. Fist, yeah. Oh God, Dave doesn't know this story, but I was
so good.
I was talking to Mike August, and it was about 4 p.m, and he was getting in it. He was driving in his car, and I said, "Where are you going?" And he said he was going to a prenatal CPR class, which made it all the more ironic. His child was born premature, and in order to take the child home from the hospital, each parent needed to know CPR as part of whatever regulations. And so he was on his way. And so he's talking to me and he said, I'm just getting off the freeway here and I'm going to meet Doreen at the YMCA and we're going to take the, and then he said, oh, hold on a second. And he put his phone down. He got, and I just sat there for like 2 minutes and then he got back on the phone and he's like, all right, now what were we talking about? And I'm like, well, what happened? Where'd you go? Some guy was just walking. He was walking on the on-ramp. And I said, what happened? Homeless guy? I don't know. Crazy guy? Homeless guy? I don't know. He's walking up the on-ramp. What happened? He kicked the side of my car. So what'd you do? I got out and punched him. And told him to get away from my goddamn car. Anyway. Let's talk about Norm Pattis on the way to my prenatal class. I'm like, wow.
best.
Yeah.
I once to a Man Show writer, I don't know if I, well, Dan, that's all, I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it to you, Ace, if you wish to call him out.
Is but this
anyway.
The moped story?
No. Once,
well, this is a good story.
Once we were in a bar, and he started kibitzing with this attractive woman, and he said, hey, at some point, is he, because he's a forward sort of a fella, he said, you know, we should go out sometime. Good for you. And she said, yeah, sure, we should go out sometime. The very next week, I was at a party. There was that woman. I was there with Dan, and she was there with a girl. He goes up to her. Dan goes up to the girl who he had talked to the week prior and said, hey, so let's make this date. When are we going to do that? I happened to be talking to that other woman randomly. She comes over to the two of us and says, remember that guy in the bar last week? He just came up to me and was like, let's make that date already, as if I would ever actually go out with that guy. So this was a very crowded party that we were at this point. She turned around for me and I gave her the treatment, which was dumping a beer on her head. Was that wrong?
Yes, but wow. No,
I think it was justice. Who are you to talk bad? Who do you think you are to demean this guy? Oh, I'd never go out with him. You know who's not going out with you now the rest of the night? Yeah, no one's ever going out with you because you stink a beard now.
Wow.
Old beard.
I don't know. I'm more attracted to things that smell like beer. That's
not
me.
Paul Bryant.
That's the siren.
That was wrong?
I think it was.
You all, that's a unanimous vote against justice.
Yes.
She
You're
was
all
wrong.
On the wrong side
She
of
was
history.
Wrong, but not that wrong.
Well, she was
to
right.
wear a
How
beard. How dare you? Who do you think you are to come up and announce I'm better than other people? I'm not going on dates with them.
Did you
that's
overhear
a, that's
it?
That's for Corolla to do and me to do. That's right. Not for you to do.
She didn't tell you that, though.
She told her friend that.
Exactly.
I don't care for that
kind of
private
conversation.
I don't think it was right, and I made my statement.
Scott is on line one, 35 Sacramento. Scott.
Baseball, Gino, Sheck.
What's going on?
Hello.
I'm getting married in a week and a half, and I'm not super excited about giving my vows in front of 200 of my closest friends and family. And as you say, I like to think I'm good in a room, but I'm pretty darn nervous, and I thought you would have some good suggestions.
You're nervous.
Well, if you have any good ideas or suggestions.
For
or
the vows.
I don't know. First off, can we keep it like a tweet? What do you get, 140 characters? Mm-hmm. Can we put a tweet-esque cap on vows?
Hashtag love.
Yeah, not only.
Hashtag forever.
I like it.
Well, Sheck, I don't know if you know my policy, but you know, I talked to a lot of these people. I got some wedding rules, and I like this one. I got a lot of folks out there, my wife included, thinks that, you know, it's a good idea to spend like $3,200 on a wedding dress. And then you go, well, geez, that's a lot of money for something you're going to wear one time. And then they go, oh, yeah, well, one day our daughter will walk down the aisle, in which case I say, where's your mom's dress then?
Exactly.
Because
like,
your mom pitched this line of shit to your dad 28 years ago.
And you're assuming a great deal that your daughter's going to have the exact same size as you, right?
Yeah, and who wants to wear a garment covered with dad's jizz down... Yeah, I'm not
Another
saying it comes
point.
That way,
no.
But I'm just saying my policy, and I like this, and you work this into your vows, mm-hmm. Scott, is it's a $1,000 cap. It's a $999 cap on a wedding dress. You'll only wear it once. Then, and even if you remarry, you can't wear it on the next go round.
Bad luck.
Then, for each $100 she'd like to spend beyond the $999, she's going to have to fit into it for 1 year. So she can go to $2,000. It's just a decade of fitting into the dress. There'll be a ceremonial fitting of the dress that'll take place on the anniversary. And again, if she's feeling confident, or maybe it's a good thing, keeps them from having that second slice of pizza. You know, we're coming around to the weigh-in anniversary. The anniversary will just be called the weigh-in. Now, how are we going to celebrate? Well, we're going to throw her on a scale. You know, she's going to get dry. She's in
That's
a sauna
you're
right
a husband
now.
Material, Ace, because you're always looking
you
out for the
your,
wife. That's nice. That's you're yeah, always
you
helping
your
her.
Windbreaker theory.
Yeah, we treat it like an MMA weigh-in. You know what I mean?
We cut to the anniversary dinner now. Would you guys like dessert after your meal?
Go easy on it.
Oh no! By then, that's after the fight. She'll be cutting weight.
Oh, she can go crazy.
Yeah,
at that point.
She'll be bulking up after that.
I thought the weigh-in was the next morning, perhaps.
Oh, it should be. You're right.
Yeah, because
should be the next
morning. Because, if it's on the 27th, but it happens to fall on a Saturday, you got to do the dinner the night before.
So romantic, Brian.
You know what I'd like is a prison rule, as a wedding rule. Freudian slip, if there ever was.
Oh, boy.
The wedding, the thing I would really vote against more than anything else. It's not the groom speech, but it's the maid of honor speech, because it invariably, I mean, have you ever been to a wedding where the maid of honor doesn't in her little speech include, but when Janie brought home Blanky, a little something different about the way she was talking about this guy. And that whole anecdote is it's just the worst. It's because it's the exact same one from everybody. And then I suspect in this vows business that Scott is going to say something like, I'll even let you hold the remote some of the time. Like, avoid that one. Avoid the hacky stuff.
The other stuff I'd like to avoid is no insider training. No insider trading. No doing the move where you go, Janie's very conservative, and some say she's buttoned down. But you remember Puerto Vallarta, and then they point out. They don't tell us the part where she took in the keister with a local. They just point and they go,
You know what I'm talking about.
And then they come back to, and I'm left there going, what went on? Is a couple too many Mai Tais or some real debauchery going down here? Is she part of the donkey show? Like, what took place in Cabo or wherever they do it? I don't like that.
I
don't like the insider stuff. You either share it. Or you throw it away. I don't want the insider stuff.
The wedding is 10 days away, so I'm guessing it's too late for this, Scott. But Christy and I didn't even have vows in our wedding. That was not part of the ceremony. So
improv.
Is it? No, we didn't do it at all.
Oh, good for you.
So because we want to make it as easy as possible on people.
And also the choreographed dancing, too.
Scott, you're 35 years. You're 35 years old. You better not be doing a garter toss. You better not be doing a bouquet toss. Don't do any of that.
Yeah.
So
no,
lame.
I'm not doing any of that.
Good. Sweet. Smart.
It's good.
People want to drink and dance in that order.
What about the dollar dance?
Huh?
Anybody?
Yeah.
Dollar.
Hey, buddy. We got a Jewish broad in the house. Martha, stage four. Put your grin and drop your linen. Pick up your pass.
rumor, all right.
It's not Jewish. That's why the first time I saw it was much later in life. Gary, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's a very Midwestern thing.
Yeah. Dollar dance. Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Then it's Midwestern. You have to give the bride a dollar, the whole everybody at the wedding does, and then you dance with the bride.
Oh.
Or you pin it to it.
Hey, buddy, Mazel Tov. Tomorrow's my Sabbath, so we're gonna have a Shabbos Goyim in here calling it for you. We're doing it by candlelight. So anyone's got a dollar, just come on up, give it to the Jew, to the dancer. The Jade, stage four.
Pour some apples and honey on me. That's a Jewish joke.
Happy New Year.
Grad gets out.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's on the Jewish New Year.
I'm now...
Thank you.
You know, it's so funny. I had the guy who hosts the Oscars give my best man speech, so there could be nobody better than Jimmy Kimmel give your speech.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
And Lynette had her best friend, and they were quite a chasm in between.
Was she Whoopi Goldberg? Because that would be very impressive in that case.
It was Kathy Griffin.
All right. I agree with Brian and Sheck and everyone here. And also, why, I don't know, it's a weird thing. Why subject the audience to your vows?
I'm guessing the bride wants it in this case.
Does your
nailed it, Brian.
Yeah. She wants it. All right.
How uncomfortable for you, Scott. This is a bad way to start things, is being forced into expressing affection.
Keep it simple. No one's going to be upset at you for keeping it simple. If you get choked up, that's part of the thing. Some people actually appreciate
that.
Yeah. Don't go elaborate. Go simple.
The ladies do love it if you weep a little bit.
And you can read it.
You got to put a tack in your shoe.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Put the tack in your shoe and just step down on it a little bit. Draw up that tear.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's so sweet.
All right.
He really cares.
Good luck to you, Scott. God bless.
Thanks, guys.
Mazel tov.
Let's see. Jocko's here. First, I'll tell you about the Hulu. Hulu.
Who?
Hulu. Looking for a new experience, more personalized, more intuitive. Create up to 6 profiles, including kids mode and whatever you like, originals, like The Handmaid's Tale. Oh, The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, Alan Alda was telling me. how much he was enjoying that current TV. And you can watch stuff like Kimmel, the full seasons of shows like Fargo, entire series classics like Seinfeld. New option, by the way. You can add live TV. Starts at just $39.99 a month. Includes the limited commercials, Hulu streaming plan. Includes 50-plus live on-demand channels. Plus, watch sports on ESPN, FS1. Includes regional sports and news. It is Hulu. And you can record live TV with the Cloud DVR. Enjoy all your TV in one place with a brand new Hulu experience. That's Hulu.com. You can try it out for free today. Hulu. All right, let's just blast through a couple calls and we'll bring Jocko in. Lee, 36, Tennessee. Lee?
Hey, Ace Man, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I was going to run a little story by you that took place up here in my neck of the woods. I actually wanted to call in with this when Frager was on the other day, but I couldn't get through. But there was this lady, and I guess she had some problems with a local congressman. And she went to a town hall meeting, which was at a college over here where we live. And after he left, she, like, ran him off the road, or at least forced him to pull.
Yeah, I heard about this story. Here would be my policy for town hall meetings. I put the over or under limit on buttons you have on your hat to 4.5. If I see the, I'm a veteran of the Korean conflict, and I know what loss is about, the guy with all the buttons all over his hat, that guy doesn't get in.
That's reasonable.
That's like TGI Fridays.
Yeah, here's
so much flair.
Yeah.
I will do two things. I will do a button count, and I'll measure facial hair. If I get more than 2.7 inches on the facial hair and more than 4.5 buttons, you cannot get in. Yeah. All you're going to be doing is grabbing that microphone and waste. First off, you'll be holding the microphone like I would hold someone else's dick. Like very clumsily, hand.
Passionately.
Yeah, but like way too
like
high up.
A thousand times.
Too high up. Like I've never done it before. You know, they always hold like two hands, you know, like fight. Like, you know the guys who fight themselves when they hold the microphone? Like they're like the microphone has a gyroscope in it. Is trying to get out of their hands like I was a veteran of the Korean conflict. I served proudly, you know, and they've got the names of the vessels. I was on a minesweep in the Mekong Delta, and it's like, you know, that guy doesn't get in.
Yeah,
he's got nothing
reasonable
to say.
It's like the signs at Disneyland. Can be this high to ride this ride. You got to be this clean shaven to get
it
in.
Not
this
high.
I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to do like the metal detector that they have at the airport, but for pet hair.
For dander. For dander.
It's like, beep, beep. What's going on in the chick who's
cats
wearing
three
the fleece pull-ups like, so sweetie, no one needs to hear what you have to say.
They're my fur babies.
Oh, no, go back home.
That much is clear.
Lock the door.
At least one of your snakes needs you back home. Better get home.
I can't have pet dander and or hair, buttons on a hat, or facial hair out of control.
Yeah,
we don't need to hear what you have to say. This is a town hall meeting for taxpayers. By the way, to try to figure out what's going on in the town, you do nothing but hammer disability checks and scream at people to get off your lawn. You're not doing anything in terms of the system. All right. So anyway, Lee, where was we?
Well, the thing about that is that I don't really know this chick, but I know some people. We have mutual friends, let's say. And after she ran this congressman off the road and started beating on his car, from what I heard, she now has a GoFundMe page because she didn't really mean to do any harm. And it just kind of goes back to what you say about
how
we have no sense of authority or no sense of responsibility anymore. Where is the responsibility for her? Like, basically, you know, could have killed this guy.
We're having a complete breakdown of authority. It's driving me insane. It's happening on college campuses, but in airports, everywhere. Everyone's just, they realize we don't need to listen to anybody, whatever, whether they're the dean or whether the airport security or whoever it is. We're just going to throw punches in front of these people. It used to be the cops are here. Everyone scram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other piece of advice, though, I'm going to do with these town halls, but I'm just going to tell my kid in general, town hall or not, never follow anyone out to a parking lot. Nothing ever good came of that. I've seen Con Air 122 times. Nothing ever good happens when you when the story began, and then he followed her out to the parking lot.
I saw Karate Kid too.
Nothing good happens when you follow someone on either direction. It's not good. If you're Nick Cage, it's not good. If you're the drunken townies,
if you're
it's
Pat Morita.
It's not good for anybody. For never Kreese, follow.
Kreese. Kreese is the one who paid the price with a bloody fist.
Yeah, my whole thing. You're heading for the parking lot. Good. You get a 10-minute head start. Uh-huh. When I see your taillights, I will quickly make my way to my car walking with purpose. That's how I'll do it. Never. It always starts at, and the congressman was done with his speech, but then she followed him out to the parking lot, and that's when the trouble ensues.
Yeah.
All right, so we have the no following out to the parking lot.
That's a good rule.
We have the pet hair detector. Mm-hmm. We do a button
the
count.
Dander detector.
Yeah, dander detector.
Love
and,
that.
And hair as well.
Okay.
Dander and hair, because these people are wearing hair.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the button. We have the button. Now look.
Beard length.
The beard length. Yeah. All right, those are all the things we count,
makes
right?
Makes sense.
That'll go over well with the constituents.
Feels
when they
like
see.
It's a...
You're hereby prohibited.
There'll be no one at the town hall.
Specific wedge of population.
But those things would be a lot better, right?
Well, they'd be a lot more empty.
More, yeah, a lot more civil, sure.
Quieter. Pete, 39, Massachusetts.
Ace man, gang, what's up?
What's going on, man?
I got a question for you.
Yeah, man.
After 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears, and needles, and money, my wife is pregnant with twins.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah, I know. I went through the same thing. Yeah.
So, my question for you is, I've got, not diagnosed, but I've got a touch of what you would call hypervigilance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see the car accident before it happened.
Yes.
I see all the stuff before it happened.
Yes. Well, I've now changed it from hypervigilance to pre-miserable. I'm just miserable before other people are miserable, as I explain. Here's what's going to happen, and then it happens. Yes.
Right.
So
go ahead. The question is this. How am I going to go through life seeing all this danger everywhere and not turn my children into pussies?
Well, you have to work a sort of statistical angle, which is, and this is difficult because your wife won't be wired this way, but you have to realize top 10 ways these kids are going to buy the farm, and the top six are in a car, somewhere with a car, and the rest will have to do with a swimming pool. And to your wife, the swimming pool and the car seem sort of innocuous. One seems fun, the other seems like, you know,
functional
and whatever it is. So she's going to be worried about the handgun being in the safe or
the razor blade and the Snickers bar.
The things that don't seem to exist. And that's the battle you're going to have to fight. It's all going to be about the pool and the car. Mm. And it's just a little stupid things. Like, I was just walking to the Starbucks the other night, and I told you guys, I was standing with my kids on the corner of a main boulevard, and they were just sort of backs turned to the headlights talking, and I said, just turn this way and watch the headlights as you're waiting. This is the way you're going to go. It's not going to be gangbanger. It's not going to be, fruit bat's going to bite you, and it's going to have Ebola or whatever, you know, whatever disease du jour or the...
The Africanized
killer bees. I still think it's prejudice. Africanized killer bees.
We know what that means. We know what's code for.
Yeah. And by the way, you had me a killer. All right. So, and you have to tune out. You just have to learn to, you have to take your distributor and retard it instead of advance it.
But I agree, Ace, with what you started out with is you really do have to, on some level, understand the percentages, the unlikelihood of, you know, the checkers piece being put into the mouth and choking the kid. But on the other side of that coin, when you think about your life, yours in particular, with Ray and Boehm and the lunatics you were running around with, isn't it hard to imagine that you came through unscathed?
Yes.
Not emotionally, I mean, but physically at least, right? Shouldn't you be dead? Shouldn't we all? Don't you feel like, can't you talk into, like, how did I get through it without ever winding up behind bars for any amount of time or anything else?
Yeah, just for instance, the things we would do in a car. I remember jumping in. I drove to Vegas in the bed of a pickup truck. I was in the bed of a pickup truck when a guy went on a Mulholland run. Like, he's going, I'm going to carve up Mulholland. I was just sliding around in the bed of his mini pickup truck. Like, that's insane. You could imagine your kids in the back of a pickup truck while a guy who was an experienced driver, I mean, he was a Mulholland, he built cars for Mulholland and then raced on Mulholland, went at it hard with me sliding around in the
very
the back,
curvy street here in Los Angeles.
The back of a car. The amount of mileage covered just on the back of people's motorcycles, on motorcycles. I don't know why I remember this one super clearly, but there's a street called Barry Drive, and it goes up around Hebrew Heights and Studio City. It's this very narrow back street that kind of leads up to Mulholland and Laurel Canyon in the same area. And my buddy Snake had a Roadster, a 69 Datsun Roadster, and convertible. And I guess Roadster means convertible. And it's a little car, little get smart kind of car. And I was, Ray was sitting as a passenger, and I was sitting sideways in the boot in the back. There was no back seat, just a little boot area, just sitting there, just trying to hang on to the edge. And Snake had replaced the clutch in the car, and it wasn't working out. And we're heading up this very steep part of Barry Drive, very tight and steep at night. I'm like going to a party on a Saturday night. And as he was going up, the clutch was slipping and slipping and slipping. And at a certain point, he just went, oh, fuck this. And he threw it in reverse and he punched it. And I'm sitting in the back in the boot sideways at night. And I'm going to go, Snake, a car's going to come up the hill and it's hit you while you're flying in reverse. But by the way, driving in reverse down this really tight Barry Drive. And he was so pissed that this clutch wasn't working, but of course it worked perfectly when he started going down the hill in reverse, and he punched it, and we're just flying down the hill, and I'm like, Snake, slow down, slow down. I'm looking for the headlights, and then at some point, he grabbed the e-brake and whipped the wheel around, and just we just spun around.
Tokyo Drift.
It was really as close. It's literally the front bumper and the rear bumper were the width of the street as we whipped around, and then he popped it into second. We drove down. He was still cussing. He was unfazed by the entire thing. And I just always remember that little moment. Like, what if someone was heading up the hill? I'd be
in their windshield
right
but
now.
But I mean, if you spent time to really summon all those near death, I mean, legitimately, you would have been maimed or worse. I know I can probably summon 20 of those kind of things. You must have at least three times as many of those. Isn't that crazy? How did we come through unscathed? Then you transfer that fear onto your children, which is, I guess, the reason for the call.
You know what's funny? I just realized gender-wise, I think we all should have probably been killed in cars, but you guys are doing donuts down hills, and we're getting in cars with dudes that we met at a bar.
Yeah.
So we equally should all be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be raped and killed, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. If Snake raped me and then killed me, Yeah.
You ever have a beer dumped on your head?
No, but I also never talk shit in front of somebody's friend.
That's the wrong thing to do. I wasn't in the wrong.
All right. I also remember very clearly once when Snake got his clutch working, I was in a car behind these guys, and they were... Oh, there we go. Sorry. And he got into a race with a guy in an RX-7, and somehow they were going down Laurel Canyon, and they crossed Ventura Boulevard or whatever, and I was sort of behind him in someone else's car, and I was like, yeah, what happened? Who won that race? And I came upon the RX-7, which was up on the curb through a wrought iron fence and facing an apartment building. And I was like, well, I guess Snake won that race. But people used to race out here. They raced on Mulholland. They raced on Laurel Canyon. And there was no airbags. And guys, you could imagine this. Guys built Mulholland racers. There was a movie called like King of the Hill or something. It was about a Mulholland racer. It starred, what's his name from L.A. Law?
Harry Corbin Bergson.
King of the Mountain.
Harry Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin.
And these guys were in high school, and they would build Datsun 510s and other little cars that handled real well. And then on Saturday night, they'd go up to Mulholland, and they'd race.
There's no guardrails either.
No, there'd be like, what happened? Junior went off the turn five, and anyway, he's not. I know everyone's parents secretly hope that Junior, I know Ray's mom hoped that he went off that corner. Would have been a much easier life for her.
That tagline is perfect, by the way.
King of the Mountain, what's it say?
When you're the fastest, somebody always wants you to prove it.
Yeah, Harry Hamlin. That's right. Who says he didn't have a career?
Wow.
Okay. All right. Dave Damashek, Facebook.com/Damashek. The Dave Damashek Football Program. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on iTunes as well. Jocko Willink. I always feel like I'm saying it wrong, and he'll tell me. Ex-Navy. Well, not ex. Always a Navy SEAL. Yeah. He's always a Navy SEAL.
Once a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL.
Jocko's coming in here. He's got a new children's book. I'm excited about Jocko.
How much good fortune can one man have to be named Jocko and be a SEAL? I got nothing.
So until we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jocko.
Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay.
Too
many. We could give you a job in our
house.
The
talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan. Right. Thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Time to get on board. Corolla Cruise 2.0, November 30th through December 4th with Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, Bald Brian, Dawson, Gary, Chris Loxamana and his band, Kaylin, and Ray Oldhofer. A Caribbean cruise with stops in Key West and Cozumel. Book your passage now at adamcarolla.com.
Drunk. A boat full of booze. Come aboard. On a podcast cruise, get drunk, smashed out of your gourd, come get sauced with Corolla and crew. The Drunk Boat soon will be making another trip. The Drunk Boat, alcoholics aboard a ship, with Bald Brian and Gina and even his buddy Ray. Get drunk with Gary and Chris. It's an experience that you cannot miss. Yes, drunk. ACS Cruise, get drunk.
It's time. Time for another bar crawl.
Bar crawl.
Mangria. Endless rant. In Seattle.
Seattle. In Seattle.
Shit, yeah.
The Corolla Drinks Seattle Bar Crawl, hosted by Lynette Corolla, Ray Oldhofer, and some of your favorite lackeys. Hell, I'll even be there.
I think that's the shit, man.
Come and get on the bus. We'll get drunk and bar hop a little bit, and then we'll wind up at the Showbox Soto Lounge to see a live performance from Loxy. This is not what they sound like.
This is not what they sound like.
The Corolla Drinks Bar Crawl, sponsored by Corolla Drinks and Rad Wagon. Your bar crawl ticket includes a raffle for a 1 in 100 chance to win a Rad Wagon bike. Get your tickets now for the Seattle Bar Crawl at CorollaDrinks.com.
CorollaDrinks.com.
Jocko Willink here. Way of the Warrior Kid, from Wimpy to Warrior. The Navy SEAL way, and who would know better than Jocko? Black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, commander of SEAL Team 3, U.S. Navy SEAL, first deployed in Baghdad in 2003, and retired in 2010. Good to see you again, Jocko.
What's happening?
You know, I thought of you this morning. I took my freezing cold shower, as I always do, first thing in the morning, just to punish myself a little bit. I am not jumping in the pool anymore because it's too warm. Mm. Ambient temperature is a little warm. And I thought, you can get so much out of punishing yourself just a little bit. Jocko probably takes it to extremes. I do it just a little bit. But I don't know when we started to run from that. It's not serving us well. And I'm glad you're here to talk about it.
Self-punishment can go a long way sometimes.
I've found that folks need to push themselves.
This music that you just put on is punishing, actually. I didn't know what that was.
The more you know.
Let's talk about the book. I'm glad you gave a couple to my kids, because boy, do they need this book.
Sure, it'll be read right away.
That's a waste of my time.
The first thing I'm amazed about is watching my soon-to-turn 11-year-old son and his 11-year-old buddies all hanging around and playing nice all day long. And I'm like, why have you not wrestled those kids to the ground? That's all we did is get people in headlocks. All we did was one big headlock. If you were standing there and not paying attention, someone came up behind you, got in a headlock, and then tried to throw you on the ground. Absolutely. They don't touch each other.
That's very strange. They should be attacking each other pretty much throughout the day at random times.
I agree. Like the Pink Panther. I agree. I mean, didn't you spend your formative years just wrestling with your buddies?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's how you establish the pecking order, right?
Who do you know who the alpha male is? Yeah. Who's the alpha silverback?
Exactly.
I never even thought of this, but then we'll get into the book. My number one pastime in high school is I had a friend named Tom.
Okay.
This guy was built like a brick house, and he got like best physique back when they would give out best physique. It was funny. He was black, and he was our only rich friend. His dad was a hand surgeon.
Defying all stereotypes.
Yes. And he thus had a swimming pool. None of us had a swimming pool. He also had a diving board in his big swimming pool that just extended into the over the pool like 6-7 feet.
And he swam in the pool?
Brian.
How dare you?
I'm just asking for the listeners.
We would spend every summer night, you would stand at the end of the diving board and you'd get in your position. And then him or Ray or my buddy Chris, the other strong guys, would try to throw you off the diving board, and whoever got thrown off got to be in the catbird seat for the next
fight.
The
King of the Hill kind of
thing. All we did was fight on this diving board. That's all we did. There was nothing else to do, and it was wildly gratifying, and everyone enjoyed it, and everyone was sort of equal in their own way and had their own strengths and weaknesses, and we just go at it. And if anyone won three in a row, it was a huge, huge deal. But those days are gone, right, Jacko?
They certainly seem to be disappearing a little bit, although the other day I walked down to the beach where my son was down there. My son's 14. When I walked down there, he was in a full-on brawl with some other kid, friend of his. A friendly fight, but they were smearing sand into each other's ears and pretty much beating the crap out of each other, so I was impressed.
I'm trying to think of... Yes, Brian.
The harbinger of your story, just back to that, on the diving board and all that stuff. Diving boards can't build them anymore, at least here in California.
Yeah.
That's an indicator.
That's so insane that there's no diving board.
Also... Not to take a turn for the gay, but I think we were naked, but it couldn't get any straighter than what we were doing. Being naked made it straighter, like sort of Roman days.
Yeah, like sometimes it gets
now,
so gay.
Now, me having a boner obviously crossed into a different territory.
Well, that's your affair.
That's a mitigating
factor.
That's
me, but the rest of the guys, it was Coliseum battling. Yeah, so...
Sometimes it's so gay, it comes around to heterosexuality.
Again. Very true. Yeah. Like chaps. Mm-hmm. All right, so the book. Let's talk about the book, and thank you for... signing it to my son. I appreciate it. Let's talk about what's in the book and why my son needs to read this book.
So, a book is about a kid. He's in fifth grade, and he's got some issues going on. He can't do any pull-ups, so he's getting called out for not being able to do any pull-ups. He doesn't know his times tables, which sucks when you're in fifth grade because you're supposed to know your times tables. He doesn't know how to swim, and he's getting picked on by Kenny Williamson, the school bully.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book starts out last day of school, and all those things kind of collapse down on him at the same time. And he's really bummed out, goes behind the library, he's crying, he goes home. And when he gets home, he remembers, his mom reminds him, that his uncle is coming to stay with him for the summer. His uncle was in the SEAL teams and is now getting out of the SEAL teams, and he's going to go to college. But for the summer, he's going to stay with his sister and with his nephew. So that's Uncle Jake. And so they start talking and hanging out. And Uncle Jake says, what are you going to do tomorrow? You going to go for a swim? You want to go play some basketball? What do you want to do? And the kid, whose name is Mark, says, well, actually, I can't swim and I can't play sports and I'm not good at anything. I can't do any pull-ups. So he breaks down, starts crying. And his Uncle Jake says, wait a second. So you don't know your times tables. You don't know how to swim. You can't do any pull-ups. And you're getting picked on? Those are your issues? He says, yeah, it's horrible. He says, it's not horrible. We can fix all those things. And so they spend the summer training, working out, learning how to fight, learning how to study, studying the times tables, and learning how to swim. And that's what the story is about.
Awesome.
Was the book your idea?
The book was my idea, yes.
And I'm guessing not to just make a couple of bucks or sell a few units, but to fill some sort of void that we're heading toward as a society, which I've been complaining about for a long time now.
Well, absolutely. With my first book that came out was called Extreme Ownership. It was a book about leadership. And that book was focused, obviously, for adults. And a lot of people along the way were saying, it'd be really good if we had these kind of lessons for kids. And that what kind of got me started on it. Another thing that got me started on was that I had four kids of my own. I have three girls and one boy. And I was out trying to get a book for my son. And this was years ago. Just trying to get a good book for my son. For him to read.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, boy things. And so I got him this pirate book. Right?
Right.
Pick pirates on the cover. And I'm thinking, cool. You know, pirates are going to go out, break things, destroy ships, take over countries, whatever. Just get after it. And of course, I open the book and I start reading it to him. And these are the most pathetic, embarrassing pirates you've ever seen that are talking about sharing and how we want to be equal. And I just shut the book. I burned
it. Aboard! Everyone, get on the Rainbow Warrior! Now! There's a Japanese whaler! Let's head it off!
Exactly.
Socialist pirates?
All these books that are telling kids, you know, that, well, you don't want to be strong and you don't want to work hard and you don't want to push your personal ability any further. You just want to sit back and allow, you know, the collective to take care of you. And so that was another thing that made me write the book.
Well, I have this notion now, and I'll apply it to males, which is, so we have this thing that we always talk about, this like shrinking middle class. You know, we have the very poor people, and then we have the very rich people, and this chasm seems to be growing larger. I don't know if it's a talking point, if it's actually happening, but I'm just assuming it does feel like we're creating like two separate Americas, rich America and poor America. And I'm now thinking about this in terms of dudes. I think we're going to have super studs that never stop training in the octagon, and then super pussy man purse. You've invaded my personal space. I felt, you know, I got my coexist bumper sticker on my Prius. We're just going to have a class of super puss and super dude.
What are you talking about?
Yes, sorry, Sonny. Get in the Prius, put the sticker on the bumper, and make your way to your Primal Scream Therapy encounter group. I think the powers that be are going to create more. This is my thought about why MMA is the fastest growing sport, because we need this outlet, because we're sitting in air conditioning on our ergonomically sculpted chairs. I think there's going to be a group of extreme dudes that are out just doing all those tough mudder things and all the octagon and MMA stuff and training super ultra hard and, you know, jumping off an iceberg into freezing water, and then just the super panic pussy dudes. Mm-hmm. And I think the middle class, which was like, hey, dude could pull the spark plugs out of his Chevy and put some new plugs in. He wasn't going to rebuild the transmission, but if it broke down, he could pull off the side of the road and check a few things. He wasn't a prize fighter, but he could handle himself if somebody was hitting on his old lady or whatever it was. Like, there was a sort of, he could change a spare on his car. He could drive a stick, you know. He wasn't a master mechanic or a journeyman carpenter, but he knew how to get the sticky window unstuck in the house. Like, there was a sort of mid-ground.
There was a minimum standard for being a man.
Those are out the window now, and I feel like all we're going to have is super puss and extreme dude.
You know, though, in my
good
opinion,
superhero group.
Yes,
I think that the extreme group is going to grow, because I think it's very instinctual for boys to be drawn towards this, and I think you actually have to work to pull them away from fighting. Right, like you said, when we were kids, you just scrap. That was just the way it was. Yeah. Oh, you want a piece of my candy? You can't have it. Okay, we're going to fight. You know, that's it. Oh, you want to borrow my pen? You can't have it. Now we're going to fight. That's very instinctual for boys, and I think we've been trying to pull them away from it. And I think if we open up that door a little bit, boys will be boys.
Well, we decided, and I've talked to Dr. Drew about this for a million years. We decided that basically there was the sort of feminine route and there was the masculine route, and that the feminine route was the route to progress. So masculine was
more evolved.
Yeah, caveman, hair pulling, fighting, you know, settling stuff with our fists. That was us. That was, you know, 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And now the evolved move is this way.
You can talk out your problems as opposed to fighting about it.
Yeah, or anything. Mm-hmm. There's a sort of feminine route and a masculine route, and we were going to do the Massengale route versus the brute route. Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Write that down by Fabergé. So we decided, oh, it's more evolved. This is more evolved. And yeah, at a certain point, it was like, hey, guys shouldn't be having fist fights at the on the property at the open house at the school because the one dad's giving the other dad the stink eye. Like, I get it. And if you want to have sex with a woman, you're not allowed to get her in a headlock and drag her into a cave. You have to give her roofies, mm-hmm. like Bill Cosby.
Yeah. There's a process.
Isn't it? We're evolving, is what I'm saying. No, they were right to a point, but then they started crossing over, and it's sort of like PETA. PETA's like, you know, 25 years ago, hey, those chickens should be kept in a humane condition. They're living off their own fecal matter and scratching each other to death. And you go, all right, I don't like that. They should be free range or something. And someone would go, well, what do you think? Oh, I'll pay an extra buck for a chicken if it's not being tortured. Why not? I'm an atheist, but who cares? Now you're wearing faux suede and they're throwing paint on you at the movie premiere, and they've crossed into a weird area that doesn't make sense to us anymore. I think we can all agree with animals not being tortured, but they start crossing over into some area that doesn't make sense. And I feel like we're doing that with this whole feminine masculine thing. We can't even do he and she anymore. We don't have separate bathrooms. It's just this whole thing, and it's all going the, if it toggled between the masculine and the feminine, I'd be fine. Be like, all right, we'll give you, all right, so we'll have one bathroom that everyone will use. All right, that's done. Yours. And I'd like to take a leak on my front lawn, speaking of bathroom, without any prying eyes or repercussions.
And how?
Okay, that's ours. Okay, but it didn't. It just went all feminine all the way, all the time, and it's not helping us.
Now, I have a notion / question, and maybe it's unanswerable, but Jocko, I'm interested in your take on this, because what you guys are talking about all applies to boys for the most part. I have an 8-month-old daughter, and I can't speak to, you know, books that are for boys, pirates and things like that, or whatever books are aimed for boys. But I do know that when we had, you know, Christy had her showers, people would get us gifts. We had a lot of books for girls, and a lot of those books, the vast majority, if not all of them, were very much empowering. You know, like you
can do anything.
You can do anything. You know, almost masculinizing the girl part. So it was almost like, do you think as the male gets a little more feminine, the feminine's getting a little more male? Does that make sense? Because I'm kind of dealing with a thought that I'm having here for the first time.
Can I just say that off the top of my head, it sounds like as the masculine gets more feminine, the feminine gets more condescending? Oh, I can do anything? Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't realize there was an option. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I actually have, like I said, three girls and one boy. And the first kid that read the book was my 7-year-old daughter when she was 6 years old. And the thing is, the problems that are addressed in the book, they're not just boy problems. They're problems for everyone. And if you think girls don't get picked on and girls don't bully each other, they're savage, straight up, even worse than boys in some cases, because they don't just do the physical. You know, if you and me throw down over a piece of candy, that's cool. We're done in 15 seconds. We split the candy and it's all good. Girls, you know, they can hold a grudge and they'll do the psychological warfare on each other. It gets really crazy. But the book, the book isn't really necessarily written just for boys. Mm-hmm. It's written for kids, because kids have issues. And what the book is about, you know, it's not necessarily about a kid that can't do pull-ups. It's about a kid that can't do something. Mm-hmm. You pick that thing. How do you get better at that thing? Well, the way you get better at it is you have to work at it. And every example in that book comes from raising my own kids. For instance, my oldest daughter, she didn't know her times tables when she was in, you know, third grade or whatever it was. And she actually thought she was stupid. You know, she came home, she was sad. You know, I'm dumb. I'm not as smart as the other kids. And I said, well, why do you think that? She said, well, I don't know my times tables. And I said, well, you know, how much have you studied them? And she says, what do you mean? And she didn't even know. It didn't occur to her that you had to study. She just sat there in class when they went over them and thought she was supposed to know them. And I said, no, actually, you need to make flashcards. Here's how you do that. And now you need to study them. And in an hour, she knew her times tables. So boom, problem solved. And that's one of the things that goes on in the book. But kids these days, they just think they should know everything, or they no one teaches them how to learn, or no one teaches them, hey, if you want to be able to do pull-ups, guess what? You got to do some kind of working out over the summer. You just don't get naturally gifted to be able to do pull-ups. That's the way it works.
The thing that always bothers me now about this new world order is we have this new thing where we just explain to all girls they're beautiful. So whatever your shape, whatever your size, whatever you are, you're beautiful.
We should be saving it for the Gina Grads of the world.
Absolutely. You got to go D cup plus, man. I don't care what grade you're in. No, instead of deciding everyone is beautiful, which is insane because everyone knows who's beautiful and who's not beautiful, we'll decide. We'll figure it out. You can't foist that upon guys. There is this bizarre misunderstanding that comes from women and the far left, which is we can make you feel a certain way about things if we hit you hard enough with shame. No, you cannot. You cannot explain to us what's beautiful. Our cock and balls will decide what's beautiful, and it'll never change. It'll never change, and you can't get us to change.
But can I just ask, yes, what about like different decades? If you know, they do sketches of like the most beautiful figure of the, you know, 1820s and the most beautiful figure of the 1920s.
My dick and balls are here now.
I was gonna say the body types are very different.
I wouldn't say
one's zoftig, one's boyish.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, the Sophia Loren will never go out of style. Just ever, whatever category you're in. And yeah, there's trends, and then I put on a couple of pounds. But I will tell you, no guy I know ever signed off on the waif model.
On Twiggy,
we did not.
Kate Moss.
We did not. That was something that gay fashion designers were trying to foist on us. We didn't sign off on that. We wanted some bosom and some hips. So this thing where it's like, well, you used to like bosom and hip and now you don't. No, yes, we do. We don't want the 13-year-old boy with the B cup or the A cup. We never said, I never signed off on that. I never knew any dude who signed off on it. That was you trying to graft your shit on us. It never takes. It never works. You should spend time in more fruitful ways. Mm. So this notion that we're going to come around or be evolved or understand, no. We'll do stuff like gay marriage and pot, where we just go, all right, look, I'm tired of arguing about it. You want to smoke pot, smoke pot. You want to marry dude, I'll be over here. We'll pretend to care, but that's about as far as we go with stuff. But your version of what we're attracted to, never.
Doesn't change.
Never going to work. So I would suggest that we stop calling everyone beautiful and get off the subject of beautiful. Why does everyone need to be beautiful? It's a weird thing because you're sort of, You're kind of sort of punching a hole in your own ship when you say, no, she's not beautiful. Everybody is beautiful. Stop using the word beautiful. Let's focus on the mind. Yeah. Let's focus on ability. Yeah, this sort of thing's like everyone can do everything they want to do, and we're all beautiful. Like, stop focusing on the aesthetic. You're coming back to this aesthetic all the time. If you really want to be true to it, drop the aesthetic and just go, look, my idea of beauty is you going out and starting a company or running something or doing whatever you want to do in life. We don't have to keep circling back to the aesthetic.
Brian, Tessa's fine.
Thank you.
That's right.
She's good enough.
I'll tell her that in 10 years.
Yeah, she's a five.
We can all agree.
Babies go.
We can all agree.
All right, yes.
Question, you talk about, you know, you have four kids and three girls, and it sounds like you parent them fairly similarly. You don't say, you know, one way for the boy and one way for the girls. Do you have a rule that they have to be participating in things? Does that only go for the boy? How important is it that they don't kind of make their own schedule, sit around if they want, that kind of thing?
Well, there's a definite balance you have to take there, because anytime you try and force people to do anything, they're going to resent it and they're going to rebel against it. So you can't just impose things on people. And it goes with, from a leadership perspective, if I've got people that work for me and all I do is impose on them how they're going to do everything, sure, they'll do it for the paycheck, but they're out looking for another job. And it's the
Hi,
same thing.
Gary.
It's the same thing with your kids. If you're imposing what you want your kids to do, then eventually they go, I don't like doing this. But if you say, hey, look, this is why you're doing it. This is why I want you to do this, because it's going to make you physically fit, because it's going to make you able to defend yourself, because it's going to make your mind work better, because it's going to make you do better in school, and that's going to give you more options in life, and that's why I want you to do this. And you explain to people why they're doing it and explain to your kids why you want them to do it, then they will be more apt to actually follow through with what it is you want them to do. I mean, think about it. All kids, you order them to do something, and they don't like it. And it's not just kids, it's anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not because I said so. You actually give them a reason.
You have to give them a reason why. It's just like being a leadership, just like being a leader in the SEAL teams. You can't just order, you go charge that machine gun nest and everyone's just going to do it. No, actually, they won't do it. You have people that say, hey, boss, that's not happening. We're not going to go die running this machine gun nest. We want to figure out a different plan. And if your attitude is, no, I told you to do it. Well, this is why in Vietnam, guys got, you know, officers got fragged and killed by their men. Because they said, no, we're not doing that. Whereas if you say, okay, well, what's your plan? How this is our objective. Why don't you come up with a good solution on how we can overcome that? And then the team says, okay, we can do that. And then they come up with their own plan. And now when they execute the plan, it's their plan, not your plan.
They're more invested in it.
And they're more invested in it. They own the plan themselves. People ask me all the time, how do you get people to take ownership of a plan? You let them come up with a plan. Then they get ownership of it, and then they execute it. That, same thing with your kids.
Wow. The great Jimmy Kimmel once told me that 20—coming on 25 years ago. It's like, if you want to do something around here at K-Rock, you got to make Kevin Weatherly, the program director, think it was his idea.
Absolutely.
And if he thinks it's his idea, you can get it done. If you come in and go, this is my idea and we need to do it, it's probably not going to get done. But if you say, I love that idea,
hey, Kevin, we were talking about. Kevin, I was thinking about a thing you mentioned the other day.
Which one, refresh me?
Yeah, Blow Adam for VW Beetle competition we're talking about with Kevin and me.
Final choice.
Right. I thought about it. And right. I really...
Initially, I was hesitant.
Now I'm on board. And as you know, no one receives oral like me. I don't claim to give it. But no one receives better than me. And
that's
there's a lot
important.
Of, Brian, you've been around long enough to know. There's been a lot of guys who've challenged that. But
They've thrown their hat in the ring. Throw the Jimmy hat in the ring.
I say bring it.
Yep.
Now, not performing.
On all comers.
Not performing oral.
That's right.
Receiving.
Yeah, it's
nobody.
A important distinction.
We do have a live show coming up.
Nobody. Well, okay. Yeah. You want to test? Dennis Prager's going to be out there. All right. We got to test it. We'll test it. I'm saying nobody receives. Right? I'm not bragging about my ability.
Feels like you're bragging.
Only to receive.
Feels like you're bragging. Mm. Not bragging if you can back it up.
That's right. All right. Get ready with the news, shall you, Gina Grad? Yeah. I will tell you guys about Audible. Ah, stuck in traffic. Want to turn that traffic jam into an adventure with Audible? I would say so. Please. It has been my salvation, all the books I listen to. And I'm not a good reader, but I can't read. I upgraded myself to not good at reading.
Promotion.
Audible.com/ACE is where you can go. You can get a 30-day trial membership. You can browse, figure out all the audio books. I think my book's there, Brian's book's there. Dawson's got a couple of books that he voiced, The Miracle Man and Left of Boom. Also, they're not a streaming or rental service. You get the book, you own the book, and you can access it anytime. You'd be surprised, by the way, I've probably listened to Freakonomics like 11 times. You know, just you listen to it, 8 months will go by, you'll pick up another chapter or whatever. Just put it in your collection. So, turn walking that dog or, going out, stuck in traffic or waiting in line at the DMV, turn it into some knowledge. Audible.com/ACE. Start now. Audible.com/ACE. Let's start trying it right now. All right, Gina Grad, let's do a little news,
let's
shall
do it.
We?
Sorry. Hold on.
All right.
Damn it, Brian.
Gina.
That was ruined.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Kathy Griffin says she may have gone too far this time. The sometimes shocking comedian posted a photo of her holding up a bloody replica of the head of President Donald Trump. Kathy attempted to defend herself by explaining the intent of the photo on Twitter, saying, quote, I do not condone any violence by my fans or anyone ever. I'm merely mocking the mocker in chief. But with the heat on her, Kathy took to Twitter again to apologize. In a 30-second video, she said, I beg you for your forgiveness. I went too far. Here's the video.
Mm.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Kathy Griffin. I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I ask your forgiveness, taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I beg for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
All right. I know Kathy. I've known Kathy for a long time. I met her at the Groundlings, God, probably in the mid to late 80s.
Was she a groundling?
No, she's just whoring around and working the lobby. And,
yep.
No, she was a groundling.
I had no idea. I just thought she was straight up stand up. I didn't know she had
no, no, no. She's actually, I guess she's done what a lot of us have done, which is we didn't start out as stand ups. You just realize me or Joel McHale or Kathy Griffin, where you go, hey, you can go out on the road and make some money if you can do stand-up. And you go, well, I can do stand-up. I just never did stand. I wasn't a stand-up. Improv, group, whatever. Yeah. And you put together a stand-up act, you do stand-up. And then at some point you become a stand-up because that's what you've been doing for 10 years. Right. But Kathy started as an actress, improvisational actor, and I don't think she ever did stand-up. We never discussed stand-up. I started off doing stand-up, but realized I like sketch and improv better, and then got back to stand-up later on. Anyway, go to parties at her little apartment and stuff. It's like a little group of people. And then later on, she had some success, and I had some success. I'd go to her Christmas party and stuff every year. She's a nice person who's a little bit disturbed, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the sense, I don't mean that in a super pejorative way. I just mean she's had difficulties in her past, like from her childhood. Okay. Like, I don't know how much of it is common knowledge and how much of it is just stuff I know. So I'll not go too far out on a limb here, but she's been victimized a time or two. And I think a lot of that is kind of bubbling up to the surface now as she's getting older and more is coming to the surface, so to speak. She was a mellower and sort of fun loving, you know, sort of jovial,
right.
And not, you know, I think a lot of, there's a lot, I've always had this sort of theory that women start getting nuttier and guys get mellower as they get older. Like all the guys I know from high school that were douchebags, that were scary, that would punch people and get drunk and punch cops and stuff are now these like balding, you know, guys with the belly on them and they're totally even mellow now. And some of them are even sort of repentant, like, hey man, sorry about high school. I know it must have been rough. Like, feel bad. They're just mellowed out, right. And the women are sort of going berserk a little bit. Yeah. I don't know what that is. It's probably a little testosterone starts wearing off, and then it starts kicking into menopause and whatever. So she's a good person who's a troubled person, and I don't know if these things are like attempts at just getting clicks, like everyone's trying to be outrageous.
That was my question. Is there any context for this, Gina? Do you know what it was, for a magazine cover?
I don't actually, Gary. I don't know if you know, but I think it was just a picture that was that a photographer took that posted online.
I saw that it was part of a photo shoot, but I don't think it was for anything.
Do you have, just for frame reference in here, do you have the picture?
I have two. So, and I have other thoughts, which is I don't like what we've become from a decorum standpoint. To me, the president is someone you can agree with or disagree with, but they're the president.
Right.
Like, I was on Dennis Prager's show this morning, and I said, I don't want to see the president give a press conference in sweatpants and a Hawaiian shirt. Well, that'd be weird, right?
You don't want him to go full at you.
You just don't want... You're right. You can get rid of the picture, by the way. It's nauseating, but... I don't want to see the president that way, but the same way I don't like flying Southwest and seeing guys wearing a wife beater or tank top that says bad to the bone on it with two angry and super weird muscular pit bulls drawn together on it. Like, I feel like we're on a flight, put a shirt on. Like, also, you got your weird bare upper arm and it's slopping into my seat and now we're making skin contact with each other. Like, just certain things.
Yeah.
We jumped the shark to me with the 1994, I found out today, Bill Clinton candidate, boxers or briefs.
Oh, yeah.
You don't answer that question. You're going to be the president. That's not for 19-year-olds to ask you.
I feel like that was earlier.
It was, yeah, like MTV town hall.
I said when I was just sort of vamping on Prager, I said late 80s, early 90s, and the guy got back to me in my ear and said 94.
He may have had bad information because there wasn't an election that year, 92 or 96, and he was already in office by 96. So
I don't know why.
You're going to get somebody fired, Brian.
This is my biggest problem. I'm sitting there with my, you know.
Maybe it was a middle of his term thing, but that's doesn't
sound
right.
I'm combing through my sort of, I've been concussed at least seven times in my life.
By Ray alone, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the booze, and I'm going through it, and someone's saying into my ear something that sounds, but they have a computer.
Yeah, so they must know.
April 94.
Wow.
Now you're doing what I was doing to myself.
He did.
Okay. The funny thing about this picture,
I don't know what it was, but the point is 19-year-olds asking the president what kind of underpants he wears should have been met with a next question.
How dare you?
Just next. I don't, we're not here. We're here to discuss policy,
yeah,
not underpants. And at that point, these guys had to start. And I don't like it. I want them to be. Ben, I don't like weird tweets in the middle of the night either. You leave the president alone, and he leaves us alone. He wears a suit. He acts like a president. And the burning in effigy that we used to see in like Iran with Jimmy Carter and stuff and Reagan and all throughout the years, we're now seeing it's now stateside and it's being done by comedians, which is weird, right?
Yes. And that's the funny thing about this that everyone is laughing at is that this has brought PC culture and the sort of right wing community together. Because the politically correct among us won't allow this. This is horrific. And the conservatives are saying, what are you doing? This is the president.
Well, to me, it just crosses into some. To me, it's sort of like, do you want your kids to see this or be a part of this or experience this or not? And if the answer is definitely no, then that counts for mommy and daddy, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I don't want to see a journalist beheaded by ISIS, and I don't want my kids to see it. I don't want my kids to see this, and I don't really feel like seeing it. Yeah. And if it's a joke gone wrong, or even a joke that didn't land or whatever, I understand that. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I'm looking for where the comedy, it needs to at least start with a joke and then end with everyone's offended.
I believe the caption was when Trump was referring to Megyn Kelly saying blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. I think that was sort of how this was captioned by Kathy. That was the sort of logic that she was going with.
Oh, well,
no, I'm not saying it's
very
hilarious.
Timely. Yeah. Does she have a Lusitania joke chambered for us as well? Like that's
where I think she was going.
That window was open for about 28 hours after the comment.
But doesn't this kind of happen because with social media, there's no filter? There's no producer that's going, you know what? That's not something we should really be doing. Let's put that one back in the box over there. Instead, she just click, I'll take the picture and put it up. Boom.
I feel like there needs to be somebody. I always say this about the saying from UPS, what can Brown do for you? Somebody should have raised their hand at that boardroom and went, people, hold on before we're going to start making billboards.
Yep.
We're going to launch a multi-million dollar cable and network campaign.
Well,
we're buying a spot in the Super Bowl. Hold on 1 second before we get too far down the road here. First off, Brown reminds me of poop. And what can poop do for you? Well, nothing. Really? So let's just think of something else like UPS, always on time, or we're number one, or just a big red, white, and blue thumbs up, or anything, but what can Brown do for you? But yet they roll it out. And when they're putting the ketchup all over the head of the Trump dummy, right, Somebody's got to step out and go, sweetie,
what are you doing?
I don't feel like this is going to be received with quite the reception that you're probably anticipating. Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about her big mea culpa?
That's just what we force people to do now, because if they don't, they're pariahs. I think I always like to just sort of stand by it, go even further with it. I don't think it's going to hurt her live audience.
That's her
crowd.
That's
I feel like
question.
That's an attempt to get back to New Year's Eve on CNN.
With Anderson,
and that's not going to work.
Do you guys think her base is okay with this, or in any way affected?
I believe she's already lost an endorsement, if that matters.
I'm more.
Oh, no, no.
I think there's a semi-ironic part because, you know, Trump, whatever outrageous / controversial stuff he does that a lot of the people are freaked out about, his base is like, great, more, keep it up.
That's true.
And in a weird, ironic way, I think the only people who are okay with this are her, like, hardcore fans.
I read that the Satanists actually came out against her on this.
No, well, we did
you
not.
Know you
I mean, no,
up.
They did not. We and they, I mean, yes. Look, you go to a couple of meetings, you become a Satanist. That's
say
all I'm
hail
saying.
Satan a few
How
times.
How many times did I say it? Santeria, people, not Satan.
You sign off every
totally,
podcast.
Oh, well, it's a somewhat different, it's a marginally different religion.
They run parallel.
There are a lot of parallels.
Similarities.
Yes. I don't think her base, in terms of a live concert sort of venue thing, would have. As a matter of fact, I believe the next time you see her live, there's going to be 13 minutes on this.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
Standing out.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Question, does the name Mary Kay Letourneau ring a bell?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
She is back in the news. Jock, I'll fill you in. 2 decades after an infamous sex scandal.
They're still together, right?
Hold on. Wait for it.
Yeah.
2 days, decades after an infamous sex scandal threw them into the national spotlight, Mary Kay Letourneau and husband Willy Fallau are separating. Mm. Now, Fallau,
after how many years?
I'll get there. I'm getting there. Fallau, he's now 33, requested to legally separate from his 55-year-old wife and former sixth grade teacher. Ooh. On May 9th, according to the court documents. The two married in May of 2005 in Washington State after Letourneau completed her 7-year prison sentence. She was 34, a mother of four. She started her relations with Fallau when he was 12. The relationship came to light when she became pregnant with their first child. She gave birth to their second while in prison. So Willy is done, and I believe they have two teenage daughters together.
Well, I'm going to have to have the uncomfortable conversation with Lynette I did after Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck broke up, mm-hmm. which is, hey, if it happened to them, it could happen to anybody, and that includes us.
We're not safe.
Yeah. I mean, I have to have this conversation. It's uncomfortable, but let it be known.
It's understood.
I thought these two would go on forever.
You thought this was going to last.
Well, in a weird way, I feel like they're maybe more committed than any of us ever dream of being. Like, I'll just go to jail for a few years. When I come out, we'll get it on again, and then I'll go back to jail.
Good point.
So there's that.
Should the records be expunged if you get married from the state of how many years were they together?
Oh, God. Well, 12 to 33.
Let's play. If you're together for a decade or more after, all right, I guess you guys really are in love.
You think she gets a mulligan?
She may.
Yeah, I do. They got married for 10 to 2 kids together. They're obviously in love.
Yeah. I think the person
it wasn't just for kicks.
It's I always say this. You know, they have those commercials, Jocko, for the woman's she's walking the mountain bike. I don't know why she's not riding it. I don't think they could get a steady cam going, but they're walking the mountain bike through the sequoias, and she's like, "I have herpes, and the medication it helps me." And we go, "Well, I feel bad for that actress or that chick, but the guy who's really getting it is the boyfriend." Because he has to sit there and look concerned and understanding and not judgmental in any way.
In a way.
But it's clear that she didn't get the herpes from him. It was the guy with the huge wide cock who gave her the super thrashing without the condom before she met this dude. But he has to still look concerned. You know what I mean? And the real person we should all be concerned about is her husband with the four kids.
Oh, sure. Before.
Yeah.
That guy. I mean, look, we feel, okay, Kathy Griffin's going to be rough when she goes back to wherever she goes back to, but this guy's showing up to work the next day.
We cut to the job interview. Joe Letourneau. Where do I know that name from? Did we go to high school together?
No. You're thinking of Joe Pop. You're thinking of
Joe Paterno.
Paterno. Not
similar,
Sandusky.
It's a similar sound. No. That's a tragic. It was a tragic scandal.
Hey. Can we talk about 401k and benefits?
Sure. Mr. Letourneau. I swear I got that name from somewhere.
You might be thinking out of a great Jack Lambert. Jack Splatt. Yeah. Great. Undersized, but overachiever, boy.
I was more of a Raiders fan, so that's a tough era for me personally. But anyway, 401k, offer comprehensive matching. Did you still live on Maple?
You know what? It was named after a tree or a bar. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Just call me JJ.
JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Letourneau.
Just call me JJ.
JJ.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, I'm going to move to Alaska.
Short interview.
I think the guy moved to Alaska.
Wow.
That's what Alaska's for.
That in the Florida Keys.
Cuckolded
husbands. Yeah, you got to move to Alaska or the Keys.
Yeah.
If that guy moved to Alaska. I swear to God, he moved to Alaska because that's what it's there for.
We cut to the bar in Alaska. You got it bad.
Yeah.
Now, something tells me Jocko wouldn't abide by one of your children shacking up with a 34-year-old.
No, not happening.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Just checking.
Not happening. Yeah.
So now they finally...
What's that?
They're done. Oh, they're going to separate
She's available?
Ways.
Was there a live show in Seattle anytime soon? Just saying. I'm a guest.
There's some interest.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, see, the look that you just got on your face is the look that I'm thinking this whole time. Like, this whole story.
Does this still go on, or was this just part of a rash of years where it was, in the news? Like, remember, the motorcycle chick and who's caught posing on a motorcycle for
the blonde out of Florida or something. I think guys sit around in the newsroom and they go, all right, what do you guys want to do? All right, you want to do teachers having sex with students? What's going to be the next rash of? Because it's not going to be one story. It's got to be a whole bunch of stories. Oh, hey, boss, pit bull attacks. It's been a while.
We had a good run of those for 6-7 years.
I miss freeway shootings. Okay.
All right.
You
want to
do freeway shootings? What else? Whatever it's going to happen, we're going to have a year of this.
Uh-huh.
And even if it's not a freeway shooting, whatever it is, we'll turn it into a freeway shooting. Mm-hmm. So we can do, pit bull attacks.
Yeah.
Shark attacks.
Zoo animals attacking children.
Oh, well, let's call that a rampage.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go on a rampage.
A rich guy is on safari shooting lions.
That's good, but it doesn't have a sexual content
to it. Yeah.
So why don't we just go with the teachers
You're
having
right.
sex?
Shouldn't overthink this.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jocko, my ultimate...
Deborah LaFave?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was one of them.
Wow, Brian.
There's been a few.
Really wanted to meet her.
Really in that Rolodex.
My whole thing is when we, do that thing where it's like she would invite her 15 and 16-year-old students back to her apartment, and they'd have sex parties, and they would videotape it, and she'd make them, she'd take cactus coolers and put vodka in it, and stuff like that. It's like, first off, that sounds like the greatest weekday ever when I was 15 and a half. But I've always just said, when they throw the guy up on the stand and they're breaking it down and all the horrible things, and he's holding back the tears, and the prosecutor's yelling, we should throw her away, this is rape, lock her up, throw away the key, blah, blah, blah. I just have one simple question to the victim. Have you ever beat off to this crime? And if the answer is yes, then we're all going home.
It's victimless.
It's victimless, because if you're beating off to this crime that was perpetrated upon you, then it is not a crime, or sign me up for this crime. No one has been shanked at an ATM and beat off to it. No Korean liquor store owner has ever been mugged behind the counter and beat off to it. But I guarantee these 16-year-olds from Florida are probably beating off to it this day, because you don't know how guys are wired. That's in the spank bank, and that's at the front of the queue.
That's right.
Gary, did we find out?
Every article just references that he's worked for Alaskan Airlines for 32 years, so maybe that's what you were thinking.
Hey!
He's in Alaska.
Where's the headquarters?
Yeah. He's in Juneau.
Right.
Makes sense.
Get some pictures of Deborah
LaFave. You called it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to a report in the New York Post, more and more rich guys who spend time vacationing in the Hamptons are getting vasectomies, so women looking to settle down can't trap them by getting pregnant. These guys who want to have fun over the summer believe they've been lied to by women who claim they're on the pill when they're actually not on the pill. Women who attempt this get that they're in line for 18 to 20 years of child support if they pull it off. And since the guys are rich, those would be some big checks, sometimes in the six figures. So everybody's getting their vasectomy before the Hamptons.
We found out that Cromartie had the DB for the Jets.
Antonio Cromartie, yeah.
Yeah, had the vasectomy and it didn't work, right?
Yeah, but you were supposed to refrain from sex for like 3 months, so maybe they didn't do that.
Yeah, but we also did the math that he had it and had a kid even before that or after that or whatever it was. So
combining these two stories, I'm shocked that more athletes like in their prime, like before the draft, aren't getting this done, like just banking months because this is a strategy, you know, the girls in the lobbies, the hotels.
You can't get a vasectomy if you don't have any kids and you're under 30 and you're single and stuff.
Really?
Well, they'll say the doctor, back in the day, the doctors would say, do you have kids? You go, no. Are you married? Like, no. Are you 24? Yes. I'm not giving you a vasectomy.
Well, they're urethra shaming.
I would imagine if the smart thing to do would be bank months worth of sperm so you could have kids someday when you wanted to. If you're Lonzo Ball, or whoever, and you're going to be number one draft pick, then get your tubes tied and have fun. Enjoy your 20s.
I concur, but I think that's very
a little
pragmatic.
A little bit of force.
Yeah, I'd rather spend that money on tattoos. I think is what you're gonna hear. And Gary, you can look into it. But they were very reluctant to give you a vasectomy if you didn't already have a brood of kids and were of a certain, certain age.
I believe I heard recently that most doctors make you go through a couple of counseling sessions if you're under a certain age. I believe it was like 30 or 35. If you have no kids, they want you to sit with some therapist or some kind of counselor that they pick.
Yeah.
You know.
Unless you can prove you're gay, and that only takes about 8 minutes if the doctor's certified and willing to come along with it. I got to tell you, I would be tickled pink and the height of flattered if I ever found a chick pulling my spent condom out of the trash can while I was shaving in the next room. Like, I first part of me would be like, you Yay. Money grubbing whore, and the next would be, oh, God bless you. Yeah. Look at
I
you.
I needed that.
Look at you grabbing that wind sock full of jizz and scurrying off to the garage. I'm so, you know, I want to be angry with you, but I can't.
It's too cute.
God bless you. Look at you.
Remember what Lycus used to say to do?
No.
Oh, you got to pour hot sauce on that, dear. He'd say, go to the trash can and pour hot sauce all over your condom so she doesn't try to put it back in.
Yeah, I feel like, first off, I don't even like...
You've been carrying that bottle of hot sauce around since we're at the restaurant.
I just like it on my fries.
Well, what goes on when the maid wants to know why all the Tabasco's in the can and off the head in the master suite? And you're like, and by the way...
She's cleaning the sheets. She must have been a virgin. Wait a minute.
Weird
Conti.
Cocktail sauce mess that's in that thing now. Like, I feel like it's a weird long conversation. Yeah. Now you're attracting rodents. You're begging a skunk to come into your house or a raccoon, right, or at least kind of like fire ants.
Yeah. Like, sure.
We all know the story. The guy threw the spent condom in the trash by the bedroom and then doused it with hot sauce and then was consumed by fire ants in his sleep. I mean, it's like right out of the Bible.
Time,
sure. Yeah, right. So I feel like...
There's a better way.
Maybe just flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
And save yourself some hot sauce.
Very good. All right. Good point, yeah.
Maybe that's why Hillary's keeping it in her purse.
She does travel with it.
Yeah, now we know the real reason.
She's following Bill around.
Yeah. I thought it was just... I was pissed when I thought it was to impress black folk. Now I'm really angry.
I'm actually upset.
Now I'm really angry. All right. Where were we? Let's do... let me tell you about True Car. Yes, how about that? And then we'll do one more. True Car. I feel comfortable getting the fair price and getting it in context. That is True Car. Find out what other people paid for the exact same car, new or used. You register, you go find out what the real price is on actual inventory, and you feel confident. You show up, you go get your used car like our own Chris Max Pata did over there. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're going new, whether you're going used, whatever it is, you want a new car or a different car, you go with True Car. Go online, find the dealer, find the car, lock in the price, get the certificate, show up, and pick up your new car. No haggling, no muss, no fuss. When you're ready to buy, visit True Car and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. That is True Car. All right, Gina Grad, last one.
Well, Men's Health reports that the website Pornhub celebrated its 10th anniversary last week. In celebration of this momentous occasion, I have the top all-time categories viewed by consumers of free pornography, according to Pornhub. I don't think too many of these are going to be huge shocks to any of you. But
these are not search terms. These are the categories that are
viewed. Yes, okay. All-time most viewed categories on Pornhub. Mm-hmm. I have the top 10 list. Please.
Some? Any guesses? Jocko, Pornhub's a website where they have adult films and clips.
Yeah.
I had to fill them in.
I would hope it's not any of the, you know, mother son weirdness.
You mean Taboo too?
There's a lot of that out there.
I gotta imagine this pretty mainstream. Top 10 all time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mainstream being like, you know, barely legal or something like that.
Mm-hmm. listen. I'm a God-fearing American, so I hope it's just big titty and black on white.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's
something
me.
We can all get behind.
I'm old-fashioned.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you're not that far off. I don't think any of you have probably participated. Well, any of you in here.
MILF is probably in there somewhere.
Hold on. Okay. That is. But I don't want to tell you where just yet because it's a big one. Number 10, hentai. Are you familiar?
Oh, no.
No.
All
what
right,
is
so
that?
That is a subgenre of the Japanese genres of anime that overtly sexualizes the characters and very sexually explicit images. But like, you know, like the octopus and the girl.
Okay, let's pull it up. You don't need to describe it.
Oh. well, wait a minute.
You guys got it on your phone, right?
Is that drawn? Is it animated?
Yes.
Oh, boo.
What the hell?
You literally have never heard of this or seen it.
No, I've seen
probably
like
stumbled across it, but
well, no, but it's
10
like
12,000 times.
You've seen like pictures of like Marge Simpson has a huge vulva, And it's sort of like, it's kind of just weird to me, like novelty.
Yes, I agree. It's
Snoopy's got a boner and he's hitting Marge from behind.
It's off-putting.
Yeah, it doesn't make for any you know, an exciting evening of pornography.
Absolutely not. So that's not your cup of tea, but maybe number nine is men with larger than normal penises.
I got to say, if I'm going to be honest, undersize hurts the cause a little bit. You know what I mean?
Why? I mean, don't you feel superior?
That's interesting. But I'm comfortable enough with myself.
It's aspirational. It's like seeing a Rolls Royce commercial. I'd like to be in that someday.
It's like, what if you said, hey, this is professional wrestling, but we have a weight limit, nothing over 180 pounds. Like, medium-sized build guys kind of going at it, but they're still going off the turnbuckle, but I want to see some biceps.
It's like WNBA. You're seeing a lot of layups and jump shots.
Yeah.
Okay. Fundamentals. I want to see people above the rim.
Well, Adam, you'll be happy to know that number eight is well-endowed women.
I like that. Okay. That's good. That's healthy. It's American.
Number seven, anal. Okay.
I have theories about that. I've never, in all my years of Loveline, and it's a lot of guys like trying to talk their girlfriends or wives into that. It's like, first off, don't talk your wife into even seeing a movie she doesn't want to see. Like, forget about anal.
Oh, go the Kevin Weatherly route. Make her think it's her idea.
Yeah. That's a tough putt, but...
Remember the other night when you said you wanted to try that thing?
I agree with you, actually.
Do not, because they will eventually do it and then hold it against you for the rest of their natural lives.
I mean, what?
Like, yes. So do not talk them into things sexually they don't want to do because they don't have... we were just talking about that with girls and boys. Boys will just, you know, quick little anal dust up and then they're back to sharing a beer. Women hang on.
Yeah.
They hang on.
Yeah.
The whole reason they live an extra 7 years is so they can resent us for almost an extra decade after we're dead.
So you'll pay for it.
We'll pay.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't do that. But my theory with the women, with the dudes in anal, is it's not about the sensation. It's about getting them to do something they don't want to do.
Yeah, I think there's a dominance aspect to it.
Right.
Makes sense.
We know who's in charge.
Right? Turn Jocko's mic back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they told me before I came in, they said, you're going to do a little interview and then you're going to go for some news. And I'm out there and I'm thinking, I kind of pulled up, kind of current events.
Putin,
what's going on?
Kushner.
What's happening with ISIS right now?
Yeah.
I was woefully unprepared for these subjects. So I'm just going to sit over here and just be quiet.
Warm. It's more lifestyle today.
Anal talk.
Way of Warrior Kid is the name of the book.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we just delete this whole
chapter
thing.
Chapter 7, how not to be a bottom.
All right, I'm just going to run through the top six. Six, ebony. Five, mature.
Yeah.
Number four, Brian.
Oh.
Teen, 18 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Third is amateur.
Yeah.
Number two is MILF.
Oh, and POV a category?
No, it did not make the list. The very prestigious number one spot, most watched category in all of Pornhub.
MILF is number two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Lesbian.
It's disappointing.
I'm a little disappointed by that.
Right.
Also, the MILF thing is sort of like, you want to watch the seniors tour? Like, not really. I just want the best in the world there.
We're not sticking around for the old timers game?
Well, if we get drunk enough, I guess we can sit here and sober
sleep
up.
Off, yeah.
But no, not really. I just want to see, my idea of good porn.
Clayton Kershaw just threw a two-hitter. I'm not sticking around to watch or her size or to lob it up there.
You pick the hottest chick you went to high school with and hope that on her 18th birthday, she films herself having sex.
God willing.
That's kind of where the bar set for me in porn. The stuff where we got to get into the, hey, she looks great for 61. My question to that is, do we have 19-year-olds? Because if we're out of 19-year-olds, then give me the best-looking 61-year-old. But if we have 19-year-olds who are willing to do this, then let's go right there. I'm very interested in the dude who likes that.
Yeah,
they have a gilf thing.
It's weird.
It's a fetish.
It's like, I get it. These women look really good for their age, but we have, again, like, hey, that guy's He's 61 years young, and he can still carry the rock playing on his college football team. Isn't it fun? It's like, great, but we have 19-year-olds who can do a 4.3 40. Let's let them carry the football.
I also think there's an aspect, much like 69, dude, is more about the saying than it is about the thing. Like, first uttered, by the way, by friend of the show, John Cho, it's more about the MILF, the thing, than actually watching old ladies do it.
I completely agree. We like
69 is not that great.
But this is people in the privacy of their own home viewing these.
Yeah, but I think they're stupid.
Yeah. Okay. They drink smart water because it says smart water. These are the same guys who 13 years ago would be, hey, man, don't make me drop trout.
Yeah.
I'll drop trout and beat
off
the MILF.
You'll do it. I've seen him do it.
I'll have some smart water, drop trout, and beat off some MILF more. They just like saying drop trout.
Okay.
And they like saying MILF. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it was called gefilte porn. And not MILF porn, but gefilte porn, they wouldn't do it.
No,
they wouldn't look at it.
Horrible.
Because otherwise, you're just looking at 40-year-old women have sex.
Yeah. Jellied whitefish.
And it's not like any guy's ever like, I wonder what it was like back in the day when my mom was having sex when I was like 14.
Oh, can
like,
you imagine, dude?
Dude. I'd like to drop trout. Yes. No. Just get the hottest 19-year-olds we can find, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Right, it angers me.
And I don't know. I'm not happy about the lesbian.
There's some good ones peppered in there, but overall disappointing.
Overall a little disappointing.
I'm just a messenger. I'm not watching all the porn.
We're better than that.
We're better than that,
We should aspire to better.
Okay. I agree. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You
got
to pour hot sauce on that, dear.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Jocko, give us some of your tips for toughening oneself up.
I mean, you gotta pour hot sauce on that, dear.
Dumping Tabasco in your eyes every morning before you hit the road. I know you're living in the dojo, and I know you have a gym, and we can give that a plug in a second. But what are some like little tips for folks? Like for me, I just take that cold shower every morning. I just hit myself with it. I don't go from hot to cold, and I don't go from cold to hot. I just hit it cold,
boom,
stand there for 2 minutes, freeze for a second, and step out, dry off, and go to work.
You're good to go. I always, people ask me this all the time. I talk about this on my podcast a lot. For me, the fundamental thing is wake up early in the morning. Because no one wants to get out of bed when the alarm goes off. So when the alarm goes off at 4:30, get up and get out of bed. And then the easiest thing to do is have your workout gear laid out, put your workout gear on, and just go do something. Go do something physical. That's a big jump in everyone's life. And what that does is kind of gets you on path for the rest of the day and allows you to say, okay, what's the next thing I'm going to conquer? What's the next thing I'm going to do? I already conquered my alarm clock. I already conquered my workout. Now I'm going to go conquer something else. And it gets you in the right frame of mind. Now, there's been some debate about that. These scientists are saying that your willpower kind of dissipates throughout the day, and if you have to make too many hard decisions, you just by the end of the day you just are, you know, mainlining chocolate chip cookies or whatever. But I think that's actually completely wrong, and I think that the more you stay on the path, the easier it is on the path. So first thing you do is wake up early in the morning, do some kind of physical activity. When you're done with that, get your cold shower together for sure.
All right. I'll tell you quickly about Geico, man. You got your to-do list. Get up early, work out, take that cold shower, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up the milk, whatever you got to do. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So you want to have a little extra money in your pocket? Pick up Jocko's book, huh? It's not going to cost you too much. But why not? Why not save as much as you can? Go to geico.com, take a few minutes, and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. The book, Way of the Warrior Kid, From Wimpy to Warrior, the Navy SEAL Way, is the name of the book. It's available on Amazon. Go check it out. Click through our website, by the way. Check out Jocko's podcast as well. Available on iTunes and at JockoPodcast.com. Also, you can see us at Irvine coming up with Dennis Prager. That always sells out, so get those tickets. June 15th, Thursday night, that'll be Irvine. And then Oxnard Levity Live, Thursday, July 6th. Dave Koechner is going to be on stage with us. No Safe Places, the movie doc that Dennis and I are working at. You can check out.
And No Safe Spaces.
Oh, I said places. Sorry. No Safe. I got up too early and did too much. See? I need a rest, Jocko.
It's on the path.
Yeah. NoSafeSpaces.com is where you go. Take a look at the videos and go to iTunes and give us a nice rating and check out AdamCarolla.com and find out the bar crawls and all that. Until next time, this is Adam for Jocko and Gina and Bald saying mahalo.
As if I would ever actually go out with that guy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. To get on the cruise, go to AdamCarolla.com. It's happening in November. Leave us a voicemail if you like. 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grab is on 100.3 The Sound in L.A. every morning. And for everything else, just go to AdamCarolla.com.